So let's go ahead and begin today. I want to see, and maybe it's just me, maybe it's not me, but does it seem like that we're living in a world where everybody is just a kind of angry and kind of just mad about something? Not everybody's mad about the same thing, but everybody's kind of mad about something. So this morning, what I want to do is revisit just a little bit of some of the issues that Pastor Dennis talked about last Sunday, which had an awesome time. I watched his message, and it was awesome. It was perfect. It was relevant for today. And so I just want to touch on that just a little bit. Everything that's kind of facing our community, everything that's facing our country right now. And we're just going to continue with that thought process. We're going to cover that topic. And I think what I call it is it's a cultural revolution. And it just seems like we've got this mindset right now. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this. And as we go over this and we look at this, and we take biblical examples, I just want to say that there could be some people that either here in the church sanctuary or those online that could be a little bit offended by some of this that we might talk about over the next 4 weeks. And in my mind, though, I think it's really going to be an exciting message. You know, I'm going to sprinkle it just like the Lord will sprinkle a little grace out there. There's going to be the promise of hope in all these dark times that we seem to be going through right now. But I just kind of want to address, at least from my perspective, what I see is obvious. And that's just that we are living in a culture of revolution. It's like there's these little groups and little subgroups and they're angry groups and so I want to talk about this and the reason I think that it's so important that we talk about this is because it's actually changing the fabric or the core beliefs of what this nation was founded on, but what the whole world is really all about and how we come together as a body of people. And so I am a little bit concerned about it. So I want to talk about that. And I love the community that I live in, and I love the country that I live in, and I love the whole world and everybody in the whole world. But it just seems like that we have been slowly moving in that direction for the last 2,000 years. There's just been like, there's this thing against authority. There's this thing against God. There's this thing against, I want everything to be my way and our way. And we've just kind of moving into this cultural revolution. And it's really affecting the world even much more now. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to talk about this a little bit. And we're going to talk about, why the world is so angry, why there's outrage in the community. And some of it is righteous outrage. Some of it is not, some of it is not called for. But just why everybody seems to be so mad. And as we, as a body of believers, we are literally watching all of this unfold, either on the news or in our own towns or in our own neighborhoods, but we're watching this unfold, this kind of division of the country. And we see this happening, but it's like, this division, the only way you can have division is that it starts out in just little small groups. And it's like, I don't agree with you. And so I want to get my people together and you get your people together. And it's just coming out into the whole country. And it just seems like there's this brokenness, in the United States. And it's been this way in the world for a long time in a lot of places. So this is nothing new, but there's like this brokenness in our culture of just the way we live. And when I talk about culture, it's like our lifestyle. It's just that, it used to be, let's all hook arms and get together and have a lovely planet and be humans. And now it's just like, it's my way or the highway. This is the way it's going to be. And there's like this anger in these people. There's anger in this frustration, even within this Christian community. It's like, we're right and we're on our side. And if you're not on your side, you're on the enemy's side. And so it's just happening all around the world. And right now, what we see mostly in here, we see it's political. It makes me sick. I can't hardly stand to watch the TV anymore. But it's political. But being that it's political because it's cultural. because that's how these people are thinking. That's how the mindset is moving. It's like there's this rage going on right now against politics and everything that it stands for and everything that's going on with it. You know, there's this rage going on now for authority of power. You can't tell me what I'm supposed to do. There's this rage going on against racism of all kinds in the whole world. There's just all these people, the no-vaxxers, the anti-maskers, you know, and it's like anarchy out there. And it's just like the whole world just seems to gone mad. It's just like the whole world seems to be angry. It's like that old movie, and I can't remember the name of it, when the newscaster's on the movie, though, and he said, you know, he's just mad and he's not going to take it anymore. It just seems like that's what's happening in the world. But God, which is the best two words I love to hear, but God, he's not left us without hope. That's why we have our word. That's why we have the Bible. And he sent out missionaries into the world. These missionaries, they go out and what they do, and they have been forever, and that's what God is. He's a sender. And we send these missionaries out, and they're spreading this message of love, hope, and peace. It's kind of contrary to what the whole world we'd see out there is doomsday and climate, you know, warming and all of this stuff. And these missionaries are going out with the message of love, hope, and peace. And it's not like this Pollyanna kind of peace, happy, let's all be happy, you know, I'm okay, you're okay. It's there's a great book out there. It's my next book on my reading list, and it's called It's Okay Not to Be Okay. Because I think we're all broke just a little bit. So it's okay not to be okay. But these missionaries, they're going out, and they go out through all over the world and everything, and they are going to cross the ocean, and they're going to share that good news, you know, and they're going to reside in the deserts where it's hot, and they're going to be sharing that good news, and they're going to go to the orphans, and they're going to take care of them, and they're going to go to the widows and take care of them, and they're going to go take care of the homeless, you know. And the most exciting part about all of this is that's us. We always seem to think sometimes that it's like they need to straighten their act out. They need to do that. The they is us today. We are the missionaries of hope. We're the hope of the world. This little bitty baby church here in the middle of Midwest Kansas, we're the hope of the world. We have the greatest message in the world, the message of love and peace. So I'm going to read this. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts. We're in chapter 1. We're going to go a couple of places, but we're going to kind of go with some scriptures here. But go to Acts, New Testament. It's right past the Gospels. Can't miss it. First chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Sharpen your pencil. Get out your highlighter. You're going to need this. And it says, but you. So they're talking to him. So underline you, highlight you, whatever you need to do. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem. This is where they're talking about. This is where the message begins. In Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, you are the hope of the world. He's talking to the disciples and the new believers back then, and he says, you guys, he's telling them, and he's saying, you guys, you need to go out and you need to tell everybody because you're the hope of the world. You're going to do this. Jesus is the hope of salvation, but you are the courier to bring that message about, to take it out and share that with everybody. You have a purpose. You have a goal. And we have a lot of goals in our life, and that's okay. We got to go to school. We got to raise kids. We got to have employment. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to do all those things. But you have a purpose, and it's a message, and that's your mission. That is your mission. That's for you. You're on a mission. You're on a mission from God, not from this church sending you out or anything like that. You're on a mission from God. Today, what I want to do is give you three biblical truths. They're going to be related to your mission. And understand, when we talk about this, we're talking about your mission. Not like the church, not like everybody. This is your mission. God has sent you out. And some of you may be saying, well, he may have sent them out, but he didn't send me out. I didn't hear that. He didn't say I was going. I didn't sign up for that. To go out and to go over into the desert and to cross the ocean and all of that. That's not what I signed up for. So right now, you know, it's just like we have to look at this and we know right at this moment in time what's going on in the world out there and everything that's happening right now. Right now, we know the McAllister family. We know who that is. They're on mission. They're in Berlin over there. The Lord said, I want you to go out to all the worlds and clear over onto the other side of the world. They said, yep, okay, we can do that. They're on mission. Right at the current time, Mike Parks, we support him. We, as a church body, we support him. He's on mission. It's where he is. He's over in the Middle East. He's doing what he needs to do over there. So right now, he's on mission over there. Guess what? Every month, we send finances to the Kansas Food Bank. They have a mission. Their goal, everybody at that community, they have a mission in there to feed families. Embrace of Wichita, you know about that. You see the baby bottles that come on. They're on a mission for pregnant women to help them, to support them, to encourage them. The Treehouse, unwed mothers, they're on a mission. We help them on their mission to do what they need to do. Our downtown outreach, we're on a mission. That's what we want to do in there. We want to go out there and we want to feed the homeless. Linda and I, we've been to Mexico a couple times. We went with some of you that are even in this room and went to Mexico. We stayed on a reservation up in Dupree, South Dakota. You know, maybe your mission is, you're a Christian believer. Maybe your mission is a cashier at a local food market. But we're all on mission. God has sent us all out. Look what it says. This comes out of the Bible and it says, you will be my witness. He didn't say, oh, you need to get a church, you need to get affiliated with the church, and then you all will go out and be my... He didn't even say you had to be in a church. He just said, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So if you would, if you can, sharpen your pencil, write this down. I want you to kind of keep this in your mind and keep thinking about this. But if you would, please, just write this down. The Christian life is a mission trip. It's a trip. It's an ongoing trip. The Christian life is a mission trip. If you get in your Bible, go over to the book of John. Just go back to your left just a little bit. Go to the book of John. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20. There's a couple of key passages that I want us to look at. And what this is going to do, it's going to help us understand as we get into this series, it's going to kind of all fit together like a puzzle. It might seem a little bit strange right now, but this is going to all fit together. It's going to help you understand that the Christian life is a mission trip. We've got a plan. We've got a purpose. We're going to go somewhere. We've been sent out. So just knowing that in our lives, that we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, you know, but I'm not a missionary. Well, we are missionaries. We've been sent, some of us a long way across the country, some of us a little way, some of us to one person, some of us to multiple people. But we're on a mission trip, and that knowing that, that we have been sent by Jesus on a mission trip to go out and share the gospel, that's going to kind of change the way that you live. Not necessarily what you did. Doesn't mean you have to be in some kind of spiritual employment or anything like that. It just means it changes the way you did. It means, you know what it does? It changes the way, listen to this, the way you engage the culture, the people, the rage, the angry people. It changes that when you know that you've been sent out for a purpose and a purpose of good. So here's God. This is God's redemptive plan. And I wish it was like really deep or something like that, you know. But this is God's redemptive plan, is to take you, us sitting out here, you listening to this online, to take God's message, the message of Christ, into the world. That's his plan. It's a good plan. It's a simple plan. Guess what? It's a perfect plan. But he's planning on it. That's it. That's your mission. For you to take the message of Christ and share it with the world. Doesn't mean you have to share it with the whole world all at once. You can share it with your neighbor. You can share it with your children. My children shared it with me. That's why I'm standing up here today. You can share it with anybody. And as believers in Christ, when we join up with Jesus, when we say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner and I need saved and I'm in trouble. When we do this, we join Jesus. We continue in the mission that he was on when he came to earth. And it's the mission and the message of love and peace and hope. And we know all those are relational issues that relate, we relate to each other. God's idea is to send people, us humans around the world, to tell other humans around the world that God loves them and he wants to save them. So Linda and I, we've been to Mexico, I think a couple of times. We put on puppet shows. That was a great time down there. We helped paint and clean up schools. That was a lot of hard work there. One time we went to South Dakota to that reservation, and we took new shoes. And that was part of the deal that we got a group of these, or we didn't go, but we went along with this other group, and there was probably 50 youth, and we were both involved with the youth quite a bit back then. So there were 50 youth in a bunch of different churches, and what we did is we collected new shoes, and then we took it down there and took it to the reservation because they got shoes once a year. I mean, right before school, they would get shoes, so that's what we did. We'd put shoes on them, but before we did that, we'd pull into a town, and they'd kind of, people would just come from all over there. Before we did that, what we did with these new shoes, the youth would, we would go into a building or whatever it might be, but the youth, what they would do, they would wash their feet, and as they were washing their feet, they would take their old shoes off and their old socks off, and they would wash their feet, and they would share Jesus with them. And what my job was, I was like on the back scenes, and my job was to be sure that their tubs of water were filled up, that they had clean cloths and all of that, and they had plenty of waters, and just to encourage the kids, you know, go ahead, yeah, kids, you're doing great, you're doing a wonderful job. Until one of the teens said, you want to give this a try? And immediately, I didn't say this out loud, but immediately I was like, no! No, I don't want to do that. I mean, it wasn't like one of those, you've probably been to a church where the pastor's up there and he brings his wife up there and, you know, he washes her feet and then he's like, look at what a servant I am, you know, and everything. And of course, she's got a pedicure the day right before that and everything. These feet that I'm talking about here, they were dirty. And they'd been in these same shoes for probably a year. They were calloused. They said, don't freak out and don't be surprised if some of them have like worms in them or something. And I was like, I wasn't very proud of myself because I was like, I don't want to do this. You know, I was really uncomfortable with that. But I didn't go there to be comfortable. I didn't go there to do that. I went there to share Christ with them. And so I was on a mission trip and it was okay to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it requires us to be uncomfortable. It requires us to do stuff like that, wash people's feet. It requires us to drive and go to other countries. You know, it requires us to take our families and go clear overseas. It requires us. Sometimes it's necessary for us to move out of our comfort zone. And guess what? It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to think about, you know, let alone Berlin or Mexico or a reservation or something like that. It's okay to be uncomfortable saying, I'm going to go knock on my neighbor's door and invite them to church. I mean, I know some of you right now are like, no, you know, we don't want to do that. It's hard to do. It's uncomfortable to do that. And it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to do that, but you are on mission. So let's read this together. John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. And it says, and Jesus said to them, again, he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, underline this, please, even so I am sending you. Verse 21 says, Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, highlight this, even so I am sending you. Here's my translation. It's like, you know, just like God sent me, I'm sending you. That's what Jesus is saying to them. And this is after the resurrection and everything. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus finds all the disciples, they're thinking, you know, well, our Savior came and he was going to save us and all this. And now he's been killed. And everybody's kind of beating us down and they're making fun of us and they don't like us. So right at this time, they're hiding in the upper room. And you know that story. And they're all hiding up there in the upper room. They're hiding from the Roman authorities because the Roman authorities, they're beating them down. There's like, you know, you can do your Christian thing, but you're going to do it over here and you're not going to tell anybody else about it. And we don't want to hear about it. And we don't want you to cause any problems or we're going to throw you in jail. And we might just throw you in jail anyways. And we might just whip you and we might just beat you over the head. So they're hiding. And it appears to them, you know, they're hiding behind closed doors. The doors are locked even and everything. And so Jesus shows up in the room. He shows them the wounds. He shows them the wounds on his hands. He shows him the wound in his side and everything. And he says, take it easy. He says, you know, peace be with you. He says, chill out. It's okay. Don't worry. But not everyone's convinced. Not everybody just jumps right on the bandwagon. So 2,000 years ago, all of this has happened. You know, in the midst of this confusion and the Roman authorities and people fighting against each other and cultures clashing with each other, all of that stuff, everybody's got frustration, their anger in their life, there's rage going on in there. And so there's this group of people, and they're up there, they're hiding from authorities because they thought they were doing the right thing, and the government's telling them that they're doing the wrong thing. And Jesus appears to them at that time, 2,000 years ago, and he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. It's not hard to understand. It's pretty clear. He said, just like God sent me to the earth for you. Now I'm sending you out to go out. And so don't miss this. This is the key to all of that. So we get that. We read it. We understand it. We see the story and everything. But this means that 2,000 years later, which is today, more than 2,000 years, Jesus is still talking to believers. He's talking to local churches. He's talking to humans. He's talking to individuals. He's talking to you and I, everybody across the whole world. And he's saying, as the Father, just like God sent me, I'm going to send you out. I want you to go out. And it's so key to understand this and know that he's sending you. Because I heard this message so many times in church, and when he said that, I thought, in my mind, I'm sitting down in there in my pew, and I'm thinking, oh, well, he meant he's sending you, the guy that was to my right or to my left. He wasn't sending me. I wasn't going to drive 3 days, 2 days to get to Mexico, and then another day to get to the desert in the middle of Mexico. I wasn't going to do anything like that. But he's sending you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are sent on a mission. And so at some moments, you know, or a time in your life, that mission might be a call to Berlin. It's like, I don't know about that. And it might be a call to Berlin. It could be some moment in your life, and it could be a call to Lowe's. While you're at the cashier, while you're out in the aisle and you're helping somebody out. And you just got this peace and love and hope in your heart. Sometimes it's going to be, you're going to be on this mission trip. It's going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to go there. It's going to be difficult. It is hard. But he's sending us. That's you and I. And we're on a mission trip every day, all day long. Your life is a mission trip. And so if Jesus said what he was saying, and he said it to the disciples, the same thing is valid for us today. As the Father has sent me, even so, I'm sending you. If that is true, how do we respond? If you believe that everything that we have in the Bible today that they had written years ago is for us today to read and understand and be obedient to, how do we respond? If the creators of the heaven, the earth, and the sea and everything says, I'm sending my son, and just like I sent him, I'm going to send you. So he sends his son on a mission of salvation, and his son fulfills his mission. He's done that. He's finished with that. And in turn, before he leaves, he empowers us. He said he gives us the Holy Spirit before he leaves. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm not going to do that. I won't leave you alone. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to empower you. And he says, take this message into all of the world. Listen to this. He said, I'm going to empower you by the Holy Spirit. That means you can do it. I don't think I can. You can do it. I don't have the power. I gave you the power. He said, you can do it and take this message into all of the world. Then our response should be, at least be like, maybe Isaiah's response. He's in this world. He's in a wicked world. We've been talking about him just lately, and we know that he's having a hard time. He's having a difficult time. The whole countryside, they're rebelling against God. They're fighting against him. We've got all these prophets that are coming up against him and everything. And the Lord, he's talking. He's got this vision and everything. And the Lord's like, Isaiah's telling the Lord what a wicked world and everything it is. And the Lord is kind of a rhetorical question. He says, well, and I imagine him, he's kind of scratching his chin. The Lord says, well, who am I going to send? Who would I send? And sheepishly, Isaiah is probably just like us. I mean, we don't want to be the first one to stand up. Sheepishly, he says, here am I. Send me, Lord. I'll do it. I listened to, at the church that I first went to, I listened to probably for 6 or 8 months. They was needing somebody to help carry sound equipment from the sanctuary out into the front lawn. And that's all they needed. And for the longest time, I was really discouraged with all those people that weren't going up there and doing that. Yeah, he was talking to me. And I was like, what's wrong with these Christians? Don't they know they need some help? So sheepishly, I was like, here I am, Lord, send me. I was on mission. That was my mission at that time, at that moment in my life, was to carry these speakers from the sanctuary out into the front lawn. So if the Christian life, if it's a mission trip, that's what we're going somewhere, we've got a job to do, we have a purpose and everything, then the Christian response should be, send me, Lord. So often we have a plan. Okay, here's my plan for the Christian and the kingdom of God, and I'm a Lord, I want you to bless that. But what if we were just to say, send me? Send me somewhere, Lord. And that should be our response. You know, we're responding to the call of Jesus, right? It's not the call of the church. It's not the call of good people or anything like that. It's the call of Jesus. He's sending you because he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I come to give you the message of hope, peace, and love, and I want you to do the same thing. So our natural Christ-like, now that we're believers, our natural Christ-like response is, here am I, Lord, send me. Because we're empowered. We can do that. We know we're able to do that. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It might be uncomfortable, but we know that we can do that. It's going to be scary. It's going to be tiresome, maybe. But it's your mission. Now, I don't know what it is, but it's your mission. That's what it is. So in God's life, when his mission, when his purpose gets a hold of you in your life, it changes your life. Sometimes it makes it a little uncomfortable, but the rewards far outweigh it. If your life is a mission trip, and you're willing to live a life a little bit differently, or if you're willing to be in a culture that's a little bit different from everybody else, the culture today is defined by outrage, it's defined by frustration. Everything, there's division around the whole world and everything that we're seeing in the world today. So Christians, our lives should live them and look different than the rest of the world. We should live them and look different than the rest of the world. Because they're on a counter mission. Their mission is contrary to what we're doing. The rest of the world, they have a plan and a purpose and a goal, but it's not the same goal that we are. And some of it may be good and thoughtful and all that, but it's not the same thing we're looking for. So don't miss this, because what you're doing, your mission matters. It's important. It's key that you fulfill your mission. It has eternal consequences, not only in your life, but also in other people's lives. So this moment that we're living in right today, and it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, is this cultural revolution of fighting against, raging against the man, whatever you want to call it, you know. It's just a, like an age of rage or something, but it's a, this division of the world. It's a division of people. It's Satan's greatest plan is to divide and conquer, to split us up so that we don't hang out with each other. There's not a place in the world that is not division within the religious community, within the political community, or anything like that. There's not a place that we don't have division. And we're living in, and have been, and will be until Christ comes back, this brokenness of this world, this anger and frustration of not having a fulfillment in our life. So our mission, let's just put it just as simple as could be. Our mission is the message of peace and hope. You can do that just by being nice, by opening a door for somebody, by saying thank you. But it's our message of peace and hope. And as Christians, our life should look different than other ones. I mean, I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about how other people see us. That they would look at you in your life and it's like, something different there. There's something, I trust that person. I don't actually agree with them all the time, but maybe I trust that person. You know, and in the scope of like biblical examples, you know, Christians should be different than everybody else. We're supposed to look different than everybody else. It's that difference. Listen to this. It's that difference that people are attracted to you. Because when you go out and you go to a concert or you go to somewhere and everybody looks the same. But it's that difference in the Christian life that people are attracted to you. They look and they say, there's something different about them. There's something, they have a calmness about them. They're in the midst of a storm and they're calm. You know, it's in a society of anger and division and racism and polarization and just meanness and rudeness and fear and disrespect and uncaring and hopelessness, we have a message of hope. The message of Christ offers a life of peace and of unity and kindness and compassion and courtesy and respect and joy and happiness. And that's not something we're offering them. That's something we should be showing them. That's how our life should look. Today in the world that we live in, we should be like that. We should look like that. We should look different so that the world around us sees us and they say that they're different. That they would, the world is offering them just a bunch of angst and anxiety in the world. And we offer for whatever, they may not even know what it is, but they know that they see it, that they see a calmness. They see something that they like in you. And it is, it's a cultural revolution on Christianity's side. And the whole rest of the world is trying to be contrary to what we're doing. So I know some churches we have today, you look at these churches and they look different. They have like different music. And maybe the pastors and the leaders and everything, they act a little bit different. But really, they're just the same as everywhere else. You know, what our goal here at Calvary Chapel is that the members would be different. They can look different, it doesn't matter, but they would be different, that they would make a difference, that they would fulfill their mission. That they would go out and change the lives of the people that are around them. That the people are closer to them. That the people within their circle of influence. And if you was to come in here and kind of peek in the windows here, you'd probably say, well, these people, they look like everybody else. They kind of act like everybody else. But my hope is what would happen is they would see us out in the world and they say, but they're different. They say we're supposed to feed the poor and they go feed the poor. They say we're supposed to support the widows, and they do support the widows. So my hope is that we would look different because we are followers of Jesus. Which brings us to point number three, the last point. Christians' lives should look different. It should be different in our lives. If you would, turn to your Bibles, Philippians, go to your right in your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And this passage is going to help us to understand what that different looks like in our life. Philippians 2:14. The Bible gives us an example of what a Christian-like is life, and he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So in this passage, what we have here, we have three examples. I'm not going to put them on the slides or anything, but it's a Christian culture or lifestyle, what believers' lifestyle should look like. And so you might want to write these down. I'm going to go over these real quickly here. But what we're going to discover in there is three ways that you can be a witness as a Christian witness, just out in the world out there, to share the gospel, to share the truth of Jesus Christ, and to show the world the love of God. Three ways, and this is going to help you jumpstart your mission, is number one, stand up. I don't mean stand up right now, but stand up. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for your beliefs in your life. Stand up for truth. This is the right thing to do. This is truth. I'm going to stand up. This is my mission. This is my calling. This is my core. Stand up for that. Stand up for righteousness. The Bible says, be blameless, be innocent. It doesn't mean perfect. That's not what it's talking about. It doesn't mean purity. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that no man can point a finger. No man can say, yeah, but he cheated me, or yeah, he lied to me, or yeah, I saw him, you know, kick his dog or whatever it might be. You know, it says just be blameless. You know, be blameless in your work habits, how you work, even if you don't like your job. Be blameless in your promise. You're going to help somebody move? Go help them move. Show up for it and help them move. It says just be blameless. Stand up. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Be a positive person. Admit your wrongs. Walk upright. The Bible says circumspect. That's what it's saying. You know, stand up. Done something wrong, admit to it. Others respect that, you know, when a man or a woman does that. You know, admit you're wrong. Stand up. Number two, stand firm. Because this is going to be a challenge out there. Stand firm. It says, without blemish in the midst. It says, stand up and be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That was then. Do you think anything's changed today? So stand firm. Everyone's moving to the left, and you know what's right. Just because they're all going over this way doesn't mean you need to go over that way. You can stand firm right where you're at. You know, Paul talks about it in the Bible. He says, lean into it. When the storm's coming, just lean into it. Don't fade back. Just lean into it. Stand up for what you believe in. Be firm in there. Stand firm. I mean, we could say today with this year 2020, it's probably like the most warped, crooked generation in the history of the world with everything that's going on. But this crooked and wicked and crooked generation that we're talking about has been going on for thousands of years. It's nothing new. Here's the reality. Every time in culture, every time there's something like this, every new generation that is raised up is wicked and crooked and lost in their way. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand firm in what you believe in. And number three, stand out. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't hide your candle under a basket. Stand out. The mind says in the midst. I mean, the Bible says in the midst of a wicked generation, you shine as lights in the world. In the midst of it, that you're in the middle of it, you shine like lights in the world. Let your light shine. And what it's saying, it's not saying, look how bright I am. It's saying, let your light shine so that people can see, so that they can see you. Have you ever noticed how, like, when you go out to the lake and you go out to the country or something like that, the darker the night, the brighter the stars? And you'll be in town and you'll look up. And every night I take my dog out and I go out and I look up at the stars, and there's about 3 or 4 or 5 that I can see consistently. But you go out into the country and there's like thousands of them, thousands of lights out there. In the world we live in today, we're experiencing this cultural revolution, and we always will, but we have to know this for sure. You know, we know that in the midst of all of this, in the midst of this darkness and everything, that the light of Jesus shines more brightly in the darkness. We know that if we're his people, that we should stand out, that we should be different. If we let our light shine in the midst of this darkness, then many are going to see it. Many are going to come searching for it. And many are going to accept it. Just because you let your light shine. So as we close today, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about your mission. What is your mission? And don't think of it as like, well, it's my job is to go over and go to another country or anything like that. Just think about this, because we're in Wichita, Kansas today. What's your mission today? What's your purpose? What could you do? What could you go out and do for Christ today? So let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to come before you, and we pray, Lord, that you would not necessarily reveal what our mission is, Lord, but you would inspire us to search out what our mission is. That we would try, that we would search, that we would experiment, that we would get in positions that would make us uncomfortable. That we would just test your word, Lord, that you said you would empower us, that we would go out and just speak forth, that we would open our mouth and the Holy Spirit would give us words to say. Lord, we want to pray for those in California with all the fires and everything. We pray that you would be with them. We pray that you would just rain on them, Lord, and put out the fires. We pray for the pandemic all across the world, Lord, that you would either remove it, find a vaccine, whatever needs to be done, Lord. We pray those that are sick, that you would heal them. We pray, Lord, that those that are well, that you would keep them well. We pray, Lord, for all the oppression in the world, that you would lift up souls, that we would not treat anybody as any of a lesser person. And in fact, that we would even lift them up, Lord. And we would walk with them. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to stand up. That we would be a part of your mission, that we would go out, that we would stand up, that we would stand firm. When the times get difficult, that we wouldn't turn and say, no, we're not going to do this. No, I'll do this tomorrow. That we would stand firm and do it today, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to stand out, not for our benefit, Lord, but that people would see the Christ in us. And that's what they would notice in our lives, Lord. We pray that that light in us would burn like a beacon and would draw others into your kingdom. And in Jesus' holy and precious name, they all said, amen. Amen. God bless.